We gather here on the Lord's Day to worship our Lord and Savior, Christ, and to prepare and see how the Holy Spirit is going to move in this place today. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him this morning. Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house on this wet Sunday morning. Amen. It is Memorial Day weekend, and I'm glad that you decided to join us on this Pentecost Sunday. It is Pentecost Sunday. You might have noticed as you came in this morning that our candle on our altar table this morning is red. It's been white ever since Easter Sunday morning. Today is a special day in the life of the church where we celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit to us and how the Spirit moves in this place and moves in our lives. So today we celebrate that day, and the significance of the red candle signifies that today. We are excited for how this worship service and how the Spirit is going to move in this place today, and we're excited that you decided to join us in person for worship this morning. We're also excited for those that have joined us on Facebook Live today. If you're joining us on Facebook Live this morning with your friends and family, I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and go there and pull up our worship bulletin. Use that as a resource for our time of worship this day, but also for ministries coming up in the life of our church. For those that are gathered in our sanctuary this morning, you will notice a couple things in the life of our church coming up. We do have our Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening Bible study continuing this afternoon at 4 o'clock upstairs in our fellowship hall. That'll be our Moses study. This is session 5 in our study. If you can't come in person this afternoon, I encourage you to join us on Facebook Live at 4 o'clock. You can go and watch that session this afternoon, or at some time later if that works out better in your schedule. But we've had a wonderful study of Moses, and we're continuing that study tonight, and then we'll wrap up that study next Sunday. So today will be session 5 in that study as we look at the wilderness wanderings of the Israelites today. If you are also, I meant to mention this earlier, if you are a guest with us today, either watching for the first time online or gathering with us for the first time in the sanctuary, we want to welcome you to worship today. And if you have a chance here in the sanctuary, if you'll fill out one of the visitor's cards that are located in the pew in front of you, and then when you leave for worship later on today, if you'll drop that in our offering plate, just so we can have have a record of your visit with us. We like to know who's been visiting us so we can get in contact with you and follow up with you at a later time. If you're watching us via Facebook Live for the first time, send us an email. Let us know that you're watching us, and we'll follow up with you as well at a later time as well. Also, if you look at your bulletins this morning, you'll notice many other things coming up in the life of our church this week and the coming weeks. Reminder to our team, Hope. This is our team that plans and prepares our 75th anniversary. We are 75 years of ministry here at First Baptist Elon. This team has been planning many things that have already taken place and that will be taking place the rest of this year. We will be meeting on Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom. So if you're on that team, make sure you note that meeting on Tuesday night. Also, note for those that are on that smaller section of that team that's helping with the pictorial directory, we are going to be meeting at 5:45 prior to that meeting as we meet with the representative from the pictorial directory, from Universal Church Directories. If you received your newsletter this week, I also want to point out to the entire congregation that we are in the process of putting together our 75th anniversary pictorial directory, and we want you to be a part of it. We want you to be in that directory. Part of your job is going to be signing up for those first dates to get your picture taken. Those dates are coming in the end of July. If you look at your June newsletter, you will see those dates that are printed there. Go ahead and mark your calendar for those dates. In the next couple weeks, you will have the first opportunity to sign up for your time slot to get your pictures taken with you and your family. So make sure you go ahead and mark those dates on your calendar. If for some reason you already know that I'm going to be out of town on vacation, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, don't cancel your vacation. Those aren't the only dates for your pictures. We will have other dates later on. But if you know that you are going to be in town, we want you to get your pictures taken those dates. So make sure you note, take special notes of those. If you look at your June newsletter, lots of other things are in the newsletter about things coming up we're excited about. One of our June mission collection things that we're collecting this coming month are items for our Salvation Food Pantry, the Salvation Army Food Pantry. We love supporting that ministry that makes a difference in our community. The items that are needed are printed in your bulletin this morning. You can bring those items during the month of June and put them in the either upstairs in the fellowship hall or in our communication center. Drop those items off and we'll make sure those get to Salvation Army. There's other things that we're collecting during the month of June. Make sure you take special note of those in your newsletter as well. Also, just a reminder that next Sunday afternoon, we will have our roundtable meeting at 4 o'clock. We're excited about some of the things we'll be discussing at that roundtable meeting, our business meeting. But we want you to be there because there are a couple items that most likely we'll be voting on, and we need your presence there to make sure those items are voted on. So that'll be it next Sunday at 4 o'clock upstairs in the fellowship hall. And also, last but not least, I almost forgot, Gay. Today, immediately following the worship service, if you have a strong back, and I know some of you do, if you could hang around just for a few minutes, we're going to be clearing off the stage from our choir chairs. We'll be changing up our music for the next couple months. And if you could just hang around to help clear these choir chairs out immediately following worship, we would love for your help and assistance to make that go very quickly. But last but not least, as many of you know, our church experienced a difficult loss this weekend. You received that email this week. We lost a young man that's been a special part of our congregation for many, many years, Zeke Ferguson. Be in prayer for the Ferguson family right now. Be in prayer for Chip and Tammy and Sarah and Jesse and the kids. Just be in prayer for that entire family. As they grieve the loss, we do not know the arrangements for the funeral at this time, but as soon as we do so, we will be communicating that with the church. But be in prayer for the Ferguson family this morning and this afternoon and the coming days as they grieve his tragic loss this past weekend. We gather here this morning to worship. We gather here in the presence of the Spirit of God, who not only brings peace, but also brings love and comfort and guidance. And that's why we're here this morning. Let us worship in His presence this day.
As David mentioned, it's Pentecost Sunday, so we're going to sing the Pentecost hymn. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Our opening scripture passage this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, reading verses 3b through verse 13. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. The Spirit is a uniting force in the church. It unites us all through the spiritual gifts that He gives us. We are each blessed with His guidance in our lives and the gifts that He bestows upon us. And we're all called to use them as we honor and serve Him daily. Let us go to Him in prayer this morning, giving thanks for His work in our lives and giving thanks for the work that we're challenged to do for Him. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, blow through our congregation this morning as You blew through that Pentecost gathering so many centuries ago. Breathe in us Your new creation that we may be renewed and revived to be Your people once more. Speak through our differences and our diversity and bind us together in unity and love. We lift this prayer to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who taught us to pray through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now we're switching gears. We're going from Pentecost to Memorial Day. And our hymn for this Sunday to celebrate our fallen soldiers is God of Our Fathers. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Thank you.
this weekend as we celebrate the freedom to enjoy time off from work and time to spend with family and friends. We are called to remember those men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice in protecting that freedom. Memorial Day is more than just one day. It's a calling to remember and a calling to reflect. As we watch a video tribute this morning, may we too remember. Would you please stand in honor of all those who have given their lives in service to our country? Now, would you bow your heads in silence as we honor them? Gracious God, on this Memorial Day weekend, we remember and give thanks for those who have given their lives in the service of our country. When the need was greatest, they stepped forward and did their duty to defend the freedoms that we enjoy and to win the same for others. Oh God, you yourself have taught us that no love is greater than that which gives itself for another. These honored dead gave the most precious gift they had, life itself, for loved ones and neighbors, for comrades and country, and for us. Help us to honor their memory by caring for the family members they have left behind, by ensuring that their wounded comrades and our property properly cared for, by being watchful caretakers of the freedoms for which they gave their lives, and by demanding that no other young men and women follow them to a soldier's grave unless the reason is worthy and the cause is just. Holy One, help us to remember that freedom is not free. There are times when the cost is indeed dear. Never let us forget those who paid so terrible a price to ensure that freedom would be our legacy. Though their names may fade with the passing of generations, may we never forget what they have done. Help us to be worthy of their ultimate sacrifice. O God, help us to be worthy this day. And all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated.
As you walked in the church this morning, you might have noticed some new flyers up on the wall and in the classrooms. This year, again, we're going to be joining Elon Community Church on June the 18th through the 21st. We're going to help them and celebrate Bible school. And the name of the Bible school that we're doing is called Operation Restoration, Mending God's Word. And during these 4 days, the kids will learn about how Jesus feeds, how he heals, how he forgives, how he prays, and how he gives us rest on the seventh day. So if you have any grandkids or any of our kids, we'd love for everyone to join us over at Elon Community on June the 18th. The first night is a family night where the families are encouraged to stay with the children that night. And also, we will feed supper at 5:30, and it will get over at 8:15, and they will get a snack for the ride home that night. And so please mark your calendars for those dates. And you can go on our Facebook page here for First Baptist Elon and find where it talks about Operation Restoration. You can register the kids through that app there on Facebook. So we hope that we'll have kids from our church and grandkids and neighbors' kids, and we'd love to have everybody that we can that Sunday. Now I call on Angie to come give us our offertory prayer.
Let us pray. Holy God, thank you for sending your Spirit, the Spirit of the risen Christ from heaven. Help us to be like the early disciples, praying patiently as we wait for your guidance and power. Fill our hearts and minds with your gifts of faith, hope, and love. May our interactions with others be witness to your grace, mercy, and love. We dedicate ourselves and our offerings to your good purpose in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, worship choir. Gay, you snuck that one in on me this week. We meet on a weekly basis. Gay sends me the worship songs weeks in advance, and I look at them, and I say, yeah, that works, that's great. And we met this week, and we went over the worship bulletin, and I guess I just did not catch the song that y'all were singing as the choir special this morning. And when you started singing, I was like, wow, I love that song. That is one of my most favorite songs out of the last 10 years that have come out. Contemporary Christian Wren Collective, I think, was the contemporary group that sings that song. Choir, great job. If you want to look up Wren Collective and their version of it, it's got a little bit of twang to it that comes along the backside of it. It's a banjo playing music. It's just a good toe-tapping song. It has a powerful song, but have a chance to. I encourage you to listen to it again on Facebook Live. Listen to Wren Collective's version this week. Read the words of the lyrics of that song. They're powerful, powerful words, especially here for Pentecost Sunday. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning before we encounter God's word this day. Refreshing wind and breath of God, whisper the truth of your love to us where we are breathless with sin and regret. Breathe new life into us through your mercy and your grace. Where we stand firm in our divisions, remold us with your mighty power that we might rise in unity and love this day. Renewing wind of the Spirit, help us recognize our gifts that we may use them for your glory. Not our own glory, but your glory. For we yearn to proclaim your presence in all that we say and in all that we do. In your holy presence, we pray this morning. Amen. Again, let me say good morning. Thank you for joining us for worship on this Memorial Day weekend and on this Pentecost Sunday morning. This is another one of those mornings where you roll out of bed, you see the raindrops falling. It is starting to rain a little bit harder outside. It's one of those things, well, maybe I just might stay in bed today. I'll be on vacation Memorial Day weekend and stay in the house. But I'm glad that you have decided to join us for worship. I'm glad that you have enter the sanctuary on this Pentecost Sunday morning. We have been since Easter in the season of Easter, and Easter leads right into Pentecost Sunday. And today we signify the fire of the Spirit descending upon the Christian church on that significant day that we call Pentecost. On Pentecost Sunday, and most of us are familiar with the story, and we'll read it in just a few moments, but some of us may not recognize the history behind Pentecost, because it was on Pentecost that Pentecost happened. Did you know that? Did you realize that? It was on Pentecost that Pentecost happened. We might say, well, how does that work? God works in some mysterious ways. And we're going to see that this morning. And we're going to see how God made out of many one. He united us all. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. This morning we're going to read the New Testament account of Pentecost. But we will be talking about the Old Testament account as well this day to compare what the two were. Reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, obviously Acts is the second volume of Luke's work, the Gospel of Luke, the first volume. Acts of the Apostles was his second volume. So this is written by Luke, the same author that wrote the Gospel of Luke, and this is the history of the church. Reading from Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Wow. There's no other passage in Scripture that doesn't make you say, wow. This is it. This is a wow passage in Scripture. The disciples were gathered in the upper room. Although the text does not specify, many scholars believe that this might be the same upper room where they had met for that Passover meal, the same place where they had the Last Supper on Maundy Thursday, where he washed their feet and gave them the supper where they celebrated the body and blood of Christ. The exact same room. The disciples had seen Jesus numerous times since his resurrection. They saw him in the upper room on Easter and again a week later with Thomas. They had seen him at the shore on the Sea of Galilee and many other places along the way. A week and a half ago, the disciples saw Jesus ascend into heaven. So now what do they do? What do they do? Do they just sit around and wait for Jesus to come back? Well, some of the disciples thought that's exactly what they should do. But instead, they continue to gather together in the upper room and worship together. Now, this room was a large room. It is believed that 120 people were gathered there. It wasn't just the 12 disciples. 120 people were gathered in this room. While we do not know exactly where this room is located, there are two places in the Holy Land in Israel identified today where this room may have been located. One of them is located on the Mount of Olives. And then there's one that's located in Jerusalem. And this is the room most believe where the disciples were gathered. This room in Jerusalem is quite large. It is big enough that could certainly hold 120 people. Especially considering that back then, 120 people didn't mind having elbow room. Back then, 120 people didn't mind sitting 120 people in this section. Can you imagine that? Getting nice and close. Liz told me right before worship that she was cold, so she wouldn't mind 120 people gathered together over here staying warm, right? Amen? Amen. So 120 people in one room gathered together all wishing and hoping that something would happen that would amaze them and guide them to what they were supposed to do next. So what happened in this room? There came a sound like a rushing mighty wind. What looked like tongues of fire appeared on the heads of the apostles. Now, Jerusalem was full of many people that day for a festival, and hearing this great rushing wind, many came to see what in the world is going on. Now, it was 9 o'clock in the morning, and the apostles began talking. They began talking quite loudly. They began talking so loudly that this great crowd could hear them, and they're wondering what exactly is going on. There were people from everywhere in this city that day. Each of them started hearing not just the language of the day, which everybody in those days spoke Koine Greek. That was the common spoken language. Everybody spoke that language, but they started hearing their native tongue. That tongue that they grew up with, that tongue that not everybody could speak, that's the language they started hearing. And they were amazed, because not only could they hear it, but they understood it. Not only could they decipher the words, but they understood the message being said. Let me push a pause button for a second. Let's backtrack a moment. Why was Jerusalem full of people that day? What was this festival that brought so many people there? Scripture says it was the festival of Pentecost. Our text actually begins verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came. Now, he's not alluding to what is about to happen. He's talking about what is happening in that moment. I thought the day of Pentecost meant the day of the wind coming, the flaming tongues, the many languages, all of that. That's Pentecost. Well, it does. That is Pentecost. But that's not all Pentecost. That's present day Pentecost. That's your and my Pentecost. But there was Pentecost before. There was Pentecost before. Luke, the author in the book of Acts, is telling us about the miraculous events that happened on this Pentecost, the wind, the fire, the languages, before all this event occurred. But prior to this New Testament account, there was a festival called Pentecost. The Jewish people celebrated Pentecost every single year. And that festival of Pentecost is why so many people were in Jerusalem that day. Now, we know some of the festivals that the Jewish people celebrate. We know the festival of Passover. We know about that. We know the festival of Booths, probably more likely known as Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur these days. But then there's this festival of Pentecost. Let's talk about a couple of those for a minute. The festival of Booths was a harvest festival significant for the gathering of crops. It's celebrated in the fall around the month of September. The festival of Passover, which we're probably most familiar with, is synonymous with the Exodus story and the final plague of the killing of the firstborn child occurring around the same time as Easter. But the festival of Pentecost, that's one we kind of often jump over. The festival of Pentecost occurs 50 days after Passover. It was the festival of the first fruits, which is synonymous with the spring wheat festival. At this festival, at this feast, all the Jewish people would come to Jerusalem to bring a portion of that harvest for sacrifice. This is why Jerusalem was bustling that day. This is why people came from so many different directions on this fateful day for the apostles and the Christian church to be birthed with the Holy Spirit. It was not a coincidence that God chose to send the Holy Spirit on this day, because it was Pentecost and he was redefining what Pentecost would be. Now, in addition to the wheat festival and the wheat harvest, the festival of Pentecost would also remember the giving of the Torah, the Ten Commandments, to Moses at Mount Sinai. God told Moses to tell the Israelites, "You shall be my treasured people from all the peoples. You will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." The Lord then sent Moses to tell the people to sanctify themselves, to get ready. And on that third day, there was thunder and lightning on the Mount Sinai. The Lord descended on the mountain, and Moses went up to meet the Lord to get those two tablets of the Ten Commandments. We remember that, right? You know, the story, Ten Commandments. We've talked about this in our Moses study. It is not historically accurate. If you want to debate me on it, we'll talk about it after service. It is not historically accurate. But we remember that image, right? The giving of the Ten Commandments. This is what Pentecost celebrates for the Jewish people. He warned Moses not to let the people or even the priests to come near the mountain. Only him, only Moses and Aaron the high priest could go up on the mountain. And there the Lord established Israel as his people. This is what happened in the wilderness at Mount Sinai. And this is the event that the Jewish people remember at Pentecost. This is why they were in Jerusalem that day. They were bringing a portion of their wheat and they were celebrating being the people of God. That's why they were celebrating. But then they started hearing some funny things. A little bit of wind. Not a little bit of wind, a whole lot of wind. And then they started hearing people talking in their language. This was a new Pentecost. There's a mighty rushing wind, just like there had been lightning and thunder on Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai glowed with fire as the Lord descended upon it. Now there were tongues of fire on the apostles' head. The Jews were remembering that the Lord making the old covenant with them at their Pentecost. Now, in a similar way, he is declaring that this covenant, this new covenant he was making with his people, the entire church, not just one people group, but for everyone. The old covenant was being made new. At Sinai, he declared how he had chosen them out of all the people of the world. Israel would be his chosen and special people, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, the Lord was making something new. Instead of choosing only one people out of many to be his Israel, he is choosing many people from many places and many languages to be his one people, his new Israel. That's why, when the people started hearing them speaking in their own tongues, that's why it was miraculous. Because he was bringing everybody together. Nobody, and I want you to hear this very clearly, nobody was being left out. That's the power. That's the story of Pentecost. That's the New Testament Pentecost. Nobody is left out. Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, preached the good news of Christ to all who were there. This same Peter would later write in his epistle these words, which we know and have heard before. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God called Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, into the promised land. He made them his chosen and special people. Now God has called many. He has called you. He has called the larger church to be his cherished and chosen people. So right now, we are living in Pentecost. It didn't just happen 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. Pentecost is happening now because the Spirit is present now. That's the power of that event. It didn't stop when the languages were being translated in our own minds. It's happening now. That's the power of the church. And if we don't believe that, we might as well walk out those doors and never step foot back in this church ever again, because the Spirit is still working. The Spirit is still speaking. And if you don't believe that, then the church is dead. We are living in Pentecost. At Passover, the Jews remember being delivered from Egypt. At Easter, we remember Christ's victory over sin, death, and the grave. At Pentecost, the Jews celebrated the first fruits of wheat. At Pentecost today, we see the first fruits of faith in Christ. How, with the outpouring of the Spirit, the gospel is spreading to all people, even to us. The Festival of Booths, also known as Yom Kippur, saw the ingathering of all the wheat harvest. We are living in Pentecost today. We are part of the ongoing harvest in Christ, living in His kingdom and waiting for the ingathering of all the harvest at His return on the last day. God called Israel out of Egypt, and He has called us out of the dark and into the light. But let's face it, life can seem a little dark sometimes. We can become discouraged. Discouraged with work. Discouraged with our country. Discouraged with our family. Discouraged with illness. Discouraged with loneliness. Discouraged with life. And when we try to pause and think about everything around us, instead of joy and peace and happiness, all we feel is darkness and dreariness in our hearts. But guess what? It is daylight outside. Even with the raindrops falling, it is daylight because we are in the light of Christ. Do not believe the dark. God made Israel to be special. God made you to be special. Israel still has many challenges. We still have many challenges. They had to walk through the wilderness, and so do we. They got to the edge of the promised land and saw the enemies and giants at the gates, and so do we. Yet God was still on their side. He is on your side too. He is the light. Walk into the light. In closing, you, church, are living in the kingdom of God. You are living in Pentecost. He poured out His Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and He has not stopped. At Mount Sinai, Moses had to go up to the Lord. Now the Lord, by the Spirit, has come down to us. Only Moses could see and speak to the Lord and hear from Him. But you, church, have the Holy Spirit. By the working of the Holy Spirit, you see the Lord in Christ. You hear from the Lord directly from Him, by and in His Word. You speak to Him in prayer daily. At least I hope you do. Yes, the day of Pentecost had fully come and is fully come. It is not just a day on the calendar. It is a day, not just a day of remembering the past, but a day of making new people of God. A day of God choosing you. And if you've never been chosen before, guess what? Yes, you have. Because He did it at Pentecost. And He's continuing to do that today. Will there be sorrows and trials? Yes. Just as the Israelites had difficulties and trials, but you are God's chosen one. Chosen one. He has made for Himself a new people, and He has chosen you. None of those trials could undo the fact that even Israel had to go through trials. Nor could they undo the fact that they were chosen by God as a holy nation, even though they wanted to. And none of life's trials can undo the fact that you have been born again in baptism and that you are not under the control of the world, but living in His kingdom. For the day of Pentecost has fully come. You are chosen by God Himself through the working of His Spirit. And by His Spirit, we are living as His royal priesthood. The harvest is ongoing as we await the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the King. Let the Spirit's flame burn brightly in you daily. Because guess what? What day is it? It's Pentecost. Let's pray. Father, even the raindrops outside cannot put out the flame of Pentecost. And that's the power of the Spirit working in us and working in this church and working in the greater Christian church, because you are continuously moving. Father, as we gather here this day, there may be those who haven't felt that spiritual movement in their lives. I pray that this day is the day of the first, that they feel that for the first time and they come and turn their lives over to you. Maybe today they're looking for a church family that seeks to be honoring your Spirit and moving with the Spirit. Maybe First Baptist Elon is that place for you, them. Maybe today they've kept their eyes on the Spirit, but they haven't been following the Spirit. Maybe they're ready to recommit their lives to you. Whatever today is, Father, I pray that in the midst of this celebration of Pentecost, that every day is a day of Pentecost, that we celebrate it and follow it. Father, it is a day of celebration. And oh God, thank you for the gift of the Spirit. Amen. As we sing our closing hymn, make the decision that you need to make. Don't put it off. The altar is open as well. I'll be down front. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn this morning. As you leave this place today, know that the Spirit goes with you. He's right there in front of you, guiding you every step of the way. He's that voice that's speaking to you in your mind, that conscience that you hear. Listen and be guided. And I hope you have a safe and wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Go in peace.